Genesis chapter number 9 tonight, and I'm going to give you some things. I don't know if these are meditations or a message or what, but we'll trust that the Lord will take this. I'm excited to give it to you. Wish I had more of a voice tonight, but the truth will be there all the same, and trust that the Lord will show it to you like He's been showing it to me. When I read these verses, you're going to say, they ain't no preaching them verses. But I promise you, they's preaching these verses, okay? Stand with me, if you would, willing and able. Good crowd here tonight. I know we got a lot. I think I counted at least 15 this morning that was out for sickness or for other things. And I still had a good crowd this morning, good crowd back tonight with the same ones missing. So thank you for being faithful to the house of the Lord. The last two verses of Genesis chapter number 9. The Bible said, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years. Just like it is said of every man, the Bible is clear, it's appointed unto men that they are once to die, even though as great a man as he is. The Bible said, and he died. I'm interested tonight in the first line of verse 28, and Noah lived after the flood. Amen. Noah lived after the flood. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you this evening for letting us come to the house of the Lord. We're mindful tonight that without you we're nothing and can do nothing. And so we come, Lord, boldly asking and humbly asking in the name of the Lord Jesus, you would give us, Lord, that we don't possess ourselves tonight. May there be unction and power upon the word of God as it's declared. These thoughts you've laid upon our heart in meditation, Lord, I pray would be conveyed the people of God, and that their faith would be strengthened, that their eyes would be cast heavenward tonight to their heavenly Father. Lord, all that we can have tonight and in days to come through your hand. And Father, all that you would do for us tonight, we'd sure be thankful for it all. Lord, we've got to have you this evening. We've got to have you. We know tonight there ain't no power in and of ourselves to help anybody if there's any help had. It's got to come from you. And so I pray we'd see that come to pass tonight. And as you do it, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. The life of Noah, we've heard a lot of preaching on it even today. But if you've been saved any amount of time, been around Calvary any amount of time, you have heard messages about Noah and what a man that Noah is. And we know his story covers Genesis chapter, introduced to him, the end of chapter number 5. But chapter number 6 through chapter number 9 gives us the biblical account and history of a measure of the days of the life of Noah. And what a man he is. He's a hero of the faith. We preach from this morning his life out of Hebrews 11, where we found in verse number 7, he is mentioned among men of the likes of Abel and Enoch and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and on and on. Noah has his place in the household of faith as being of that number and that crowd. When the Lord was going to pronounce judgment that was to come to the nation of Israel, he said, though Daniel and Job and Noah was in this city, he said, I wouldn't spare it even for their crying. And the idea is those were great men, even in the eyes of the Lord, that they had lived lives that had pleased God to the point that they are recognized both on earth and in heaven as great men of faith. Men that love God, men that live for God, men that is said of each of them in different ways were just men, justified men, men that walked with God, and men that were perfect in their generations.
And that doesn't mean they were sinless. We'll see that even in the life of Noah. But it means their life, it stood out and it counted for God's sake. When we study the life of Noah tonight, I would maybe give it to you this way, that his life can be divided into two sections or two segments. We would say tonight in chapter number 6 and chapter number 7, we see Noah's life before the flood. A lot of good things are said about Noah before the flood. There's a lot of things we preached even this morning, and all of that is centered around Noah's life before the flood. Most of our preaching and most of our knowledge about Noah is that life that he lived before the flood. But in chapter number 8 and in chapter number 9, we come even to the verse we read tonight. And the second segment of Noah's life is the life that he lived after the flood. After the flood. And obviously tonight, between these two segments of Noah's life, the dividing line of these segments is the flood itself. I'm not preaching on the flood tonight necessarily, not in trying to expound upon that, but we do believe in the flood. We believe in a worldwide flood that God sent out of judgment to bring his wrath and indignation against the evil imagination of man's heart that was only evil continually before the Lord. And so we do not deny that. Anybody who denies a worldwide flood does not know their Bible and is not a Bible believer. The Bible is clear that Noah encountered in his day a flood and storm that was so great that it flooded the entirety of the world. It is in reality, when we think about the flood, it is in reality the biggest and most destructive storm in human history. There's never been a storm like the storm that Noah went through. There's never been a storm more destructive to humanity and to buildings and to structures and to the atmosphere than that of the storm that Noah faced and divided his life before the flood versus after the flood. Believe in the flood tonight, in the storm that Noah sailed through, this biggest and most destructive storm, the greatest storm in human history, that it represents the greatest storms of our life. There are times we reference seasons of our life as storms. And I think we all know what that means. That means something has come against us. Something is blowing upon us and contrary to our life. Something where a hardship maybe has come in. And we call that a storm in our life. There are different storms that we face, and I've been saved long enough to, amen, maybe be able to testify about this a little bit, but there are all sorts of storms that come into our life, and there are some things, as they began to come against us, we just kind of sail on through, and we've been through enough to know that thing will pass, and it ain't as big maybe as anything we've been through in the past, and so we just sail on and trust the Lord. Then there are other times that things began to come against us, and they are the greatest storms that we have ever faced. Is there anybody here tonight knows what I'm talking about? Things that when you begin to see them unfold before you and you get in the middle of it, you look around and go, oh, dear God, I've never been in anything like this before. This is what the flood and the storm of Noah's day, I believe, could represent to you and I. I want you to notice the storm. This storm destroyed everything that laid in its path. Why, when this storm is over, there's going to be a destruction upon that old antediluvian age and pre-flood era that the Lord is going to destroy it, that he might cleanse the earth of the sin of mankind. And so this storm is so great. and powerful, then it literally destroys everything in its path. There's not a life that's going to be saved that is on the outside of the ark. There's not going to be one life that is going to live to tell about it, save Noah and his family. And so what a storm that this is, destroying everything in its path. And yet we find, as we read and study the life of Noah, that Noah survived and lived after the flood. All of the cries of those on the outside of the ark would testify that mankind is going to die. All the beating maybe upon the door and the sides of that ark in the moment of the rain descending and the floods coming, and the heaven and the earth both being opened up and the waters of judgment gushing forth. Those beatings on the side of the ark testified of the greatness of this storm. But our Bible said tonight, and Noah lived after the flood. And if he's going to live after the flood, God's got to keep him alive through the flood. God's got to sustain him. And we understand the story of Noah, that God had a plan before the storm ever came to get Noah through the flood. He had a plan in place. He had an ark in mind. He had a refuge for that saint of God, that though that storm may kill everybody else, that Noah was going to survive the storm, that Noah was going to live to see the sunshine again. Amen. Noah's going to live long enough to see the wind cease. He's going to live long enough to watch the waters and the floods began to go back into their places. That Noah was going to live through this storm. He's going to make it and see the muddy land turn to dry ground one more time. Amen. And I'm glad tonight the children of God have a refuge this evening. That, my friend, there are things that sometimes come against us that are greater than anything we've ever faced, and things that are killing people that are on the outside of faith and outside of Christ and outside of the Bible. I'm glad to tell you tonight, I've been through enough to know that the Lord will keep his children safe through the flood. Amen. Through the flood and through the fire and through the storm and through every hardship that comes our way. Amen. I'm glad we'll live after the flood. Amen. What a statement is made here in this verse 28. And Noah lived after the flood. I've been consumed with that for a little while, these recent weeks, just the fact that Noah lived after the flood. Everything about that flood said he shouldn't have made it. Everything, my friend, about that flood said that boat shouldn't have been enough. Amen. And by the way, it wasn't the boat. It was God that got him through the storm anyway. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, everything about that season page of human history said that Noah should have died with the rest of humanity. But he didn't die. He made it through the storm. And he didn't just make it through the storm. He did not just survive the storm. The Bible said Noah lived. He lived after the flood. Amen. And some of you here tonight, amen, I know because I'm your pastor, some of you may have things going I don't even know about. But you're in a time of your life, you're wondering if you're ever going to live again. Amen. You're wondering if you're going to survive what you're going through, much less have a life worth living after the storm. I'm telling you the very statement here that many times we've read and passed over and just breezed through in our Bible reading. It reminds me tonight there is life after the flood. Amen. There is a life to be lived when the storm is done. Amen. What's killing everybody else, you're going to make it through. And you just won't make it and survive it as a victim of the storm. Thank God you're going to come out victorious one day. Amen. You're going to come out on the other side. Amen. And it's going to be said, oh, Ledbetter lived after the storm. It's going to be said the Davises lived after the storm. And the Jenkins lived after the storm. And Calvary Baptist Tabernacle lived after the storm. storm. Amen. Noah lived after the flood. Amen. I'm interested in that tonight. Noah lived after the flood. Amen. That's what I'm preaching on with an exclamation point. Amen. If you don't like that title, we could call it tonight, Living After the Storm. Amen. I want to learn what it is to live after the storm. Amen. I'm telling you, the storm will tell you you ain't going to make it. Amen. The world will tell you you're wasting your time. Amen. I'm telling you, Baptists, they'll jump on your boat and try to sink it. Amen. But if God's on board, thank God you're in an unsinkable ship with an unsinkable faith. Amen. And the day's going to come, you're going to enjoy the sun upon your brow again. Amen. And we're going to live after the flood. Amen. Knowing lived. What does this mean? I looked up the word. I got blessed the further and further I got in it. I'll give you this, and I got 4 points quickly, and I'm done. Amen. Knowing lived means to simply be alive or to keep alive. Amen. Knowing lived. That is, he was alive and he was kept alive. Amen. Hey, man, some things I'm thinking about tonight should have killed me, should have drowned me. Hey, man, should have sunk me, should have carried me down. Bobby, I'm glad tonight I can look back and I can tell you that, hey, man, God kept me alive, that I didn't make it through because I was mighty and strong. I was weak. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I didn't know how I was going to make it. Knowing lived, that is, God kept him alive. His word lived, it has the sense, listen to this, amen, not just of keeping alive, amen, but keeping an object safe in danger. Amen. Noah's life was in danger. Amen. But Noah lived. Noah lived, God kept him safe. God kept him safe in the danger that beat against him. His word lived. It has the sense of flourishing, reviving, and healing. Amen. Can we put it this way? Noah lived after the flood. Amen. God healed him. God revived him. God didn't just bring him through the flood, but on the other side, it was a flourishing experience. God was going to let him live. Amen. And I'm glad tonight. Amen. Listen, you listen to some Christians tonight, and they're so humdrum and got the drab set. Amen. They, my friend, have such a poor outlook on life. Amen. You listen to them, it makes you think. Amen. We just dragging our tracks out, doing the best we can. Amen. But the Bible said, no, and lived after the flood. Amen. There's healing for the soul after the storm. There's revival for your heart after the storm. Amen. That you, my friend, have been consumed with and has destroyed this or that in your life. On the other side of your storm, God can bring a flourishing. None lived after the flood. Amen. Amen. In fact, there are some ways Noah's life after the flood, oh boy, was greater than what he had before the flood. Amen. There was a cleansing I'm getting. Hey, man, I'm about to preach out the overflow. I can't hang up. I can't hang up. God help me not to hang up. Amen. There was a cleansing in that new world. There was a purity in that new land. Amen. When he stepped off, God had, through that storm, created a brand new world for Noah to live in. Amen. One that was better than what he had before. Amen. One that would not know the corruption and the vileness and all that was in that first world that had displeased God and was a vexing to the righteous soul of Noah. Amen. There was, through the storm, a cleansing of all of that. So much that his life after the flood, amen, was a greater life. He saw greater things. He experienced experience more after the flood than he did before. And I say tonight, Noah lived after the flood. He lived after the flood. God revived him after the flood, healed him after the flood. He caused him to flourish after the flood. Amen. Noah lived after the flood because, amen, God brought him through the storm. Amen. God did some things in Noah's life before the flood. He did some things in Noah's life through the flood. Amen. And so now after the flood, the Bible said that Noah lived not because Noah was much of anything, but because God was with Noah. Noah lived after the flood. Let me give you several observations I've made about chapter number 8 and chapter number 9, Noah's life after the flood. Noah lived after the flood. Amen. Notice with me the kind of life that he lived. I'm going to say number 1, Noah lived a life of worship after the flood. Notice what the Bible said. By the way, let me interject this. In chapter number 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah in the middle of the flood. In the middle of all them 370 or 71 days, the storms came and blew and the floods existed. Over a year span of time, Noah was in the ark. Amen. He had all his family, had all these animals. And all these things are there. And the Bible said that in chapter number 8 and verse number 1, God remembered Noah. Amen. And so God's going to begin to make a way. Amen. To bring the storm and the flood to an end. He's going to make a way to bring Noah to his life after the flood. Amen. He's still on that. He's coming out of it, but he's still in the ark. The Bible said in verse number 15, and God spake unto Noah. Amen. Saying, go forth of the ark. Verse number 16, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Amen. And so the Bible said in verse number 18, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with it. And so now we see that Noah's coming out of the storm. He's coming out of the ark. The flood is over. The land is dry. The winds have ceased to blow. The storm clouds have rolled away. And you imagine what it was like when he opened up that door. Amen. Can you imagine what it was like, Brother Jack, when that sun came across their brow the first time in 370 days? And you imagine what it was like to look around and breathe that fresh air for the first time. Amen. What a scene and what a day that must have been. But you know the first thing Noah did, amen, he didn't start building a house. He didn't start building a structure. The Bible said in verse number 20 of chapter number 8, and Noah building an altar unto the Lord. And he's going to make a sacrifice so great. In verse number 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, and he begins to brag on Noah. He begins to be moved by the worship of this man after the flood. I think about Noah. He must have been a man of worship before the flood. And you must understand that. And he's a just man, perfect in his generation, walking with God. He must have times of worship in his life where he's had altars raised. He must have known that before the flood. When that storm began to come, I'm not saying he didn't worship on the boat. I ain't saying there's no worship in the ark. My friend, listen to me. At best, his worship life was confined on that ark. Amen. He was him then. Amen. It's not the atmosphere he's used to. It's not, my friend, conducive to a life of worship. Have you ever felt like that in the storms of life? Amen. Like you was confined. You was doing the best you can. You was trying to worship God, but amen, you knew it wasn't as real in your heart. It wasn't coming up with the same passion and the same fervor, my friend. You was just trying to make it. You was just trying to trust God. Amen. Every now and then, maybe you lift your hand and say, Lord, I love you. Amen. And you just have to go on that. And maybe you drag yourself into church for corporate worship. shout and you're there, but you're concentrating on the storm and just barely making it. Amen. Can I remind you, after the storm, amen, after the flood, Noah lived a life of worship again. Amen. He built an altar for the first time after the storm. Amen. Oh, can you imagine what that was? And all the restraints had been lifted and all the hindrances had been removed. Amen. It moved God's heart. It moved Noah's heart. Amen. He got to live a life of worship again. Amen. The devil's lying to some of you, said, hey, you'll never worship God like you used to. Amen. You'll never worship God. Why, look, you can't even give him all you have in the middle of this storm. And I promise you, as Noah lived after the flood and Noah got to worship again, you're going to worship again. Amen. Your God is for you. He's bringing you through. And you're going to survive, and he's going to revive your worship one of these days. There'll be healing brought to your soul, and you'll stand with your hands uplifted and a heart of gratitude that says, I've got my praise back. I've got my worship back. And my God is letting me live after the flood. And I tell you tonight, there ain't nothing like when you come out of the flood. When you come out of the storm and God, amen, lets you get hooked up in his presence again. Amen, I'm glad our God's still there after the storm. Amen, to lift our hands. You say, what was Noah praising God for? Amen, probably for getting him through the storm and probably saving his soul and probably saving his family and probably reviving him and healing him and bringing him into that new land. I tell you tonight, there'll come a time you'll be able to live a life of worship. Amen. After the storm. Amen. The devil said you'll never do it again, but Noah did. Yes, sir. The devil may have jumped on that boat with old Noah and said, well, you ain't going to make it. You won't ever worship God again. This is as good as it'll ever be. Buddy, I'm telling you, it didn't take Noah. It didn't take Noah days. It took him a matter of hours. Amen. To find some stones and erect an altar, some wood to erect an altar. Amen. It didn't take him long to go get a sacrifice. Amen. It didn't take him long to call down the presence of the Lord upon that sacred place. Amen. He felt God again. He felt the touch of God upon him again. He felt what it was like to reach up and touch the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, he lived a life of worship. Amen. After the flood, after the storm. Amen. Let me say number two. I like this point. Noah lived a life not only of worship, but Noah lived a life of blessing after the flood. Notice what chapter number 9, verse number 1, notice how it begins. And God blessed Noah. And God blessed Noah. So, yeah, he blessed him before the flood, showed up and talked to him. Yeah, he did. He blessed him in the flood and in the storm. He brought him through, and that's true. I'm telling you, God blessed Noah to greater degrees after the flood than he did before the flood. And he blessed him in greater degrees after the flood than he did during the flood. Amen. Noah lived after the flood a life of blessing. You think about all that the storm had destroyed. Amen. They ain't another human being save them eight that got off of the ark. Amen. That's the only ones that survived. That's the only ones, Brother Riley, that made it through was Noah and his family. Amen. There ain't no gardens waiting on them. There's no vineyards that have been planted. There's no corn to be harvested. Amen. That land has been wiped out and destroyed. Amen. And if God don't bless them, they're not going to make it. If God doesn't bless them, they're not going to survive. I'm telling you tonight, the Bible said, and God blessed Noah. And God blessed Noah. And God said to Noah, I got a job for you to do. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. And I want you to replenish. Amen. Noah, my friend, looks around and thinks, how in the world are we going to do that? When God began to bless Noah, God made a way. And the seed went in the ground. Amen. And the seed turned into a seedling. And the seedling grew into a stalk. Amen. And the stalk into a vine. And it ain't long that Noah's seen crops grow. And all these animals are replenishing. Human beings are being born all over the place. Why? Because God blessed Noah. God bless Noah. And I'm telling you tonight, God is in the business of you living a life of blessing after the flood. I wrote it down this way, Brother Jack. The storm may have destroyed, but the Lord is able to bless again after the storm. Amen. Say, how do you know that? Look with me in chapter number 9, verse number 18 and 19. The Bible said the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth, overspread. In other words, God took Noah and his sons after the flood. Listen, you say, how big were them blessings? Them blessings, Brother Tim, are so big that we are actually the product of the blessings God gave to Noah after the flood. You're here tonight because God blessed Noah after the flood. Amen. There's such a thing as a cornfield because God blessed Noah after the flood. Brother Jack, there's such a thing as cattle in your field because God blessed Noah after the flood. Glory to God. Amen. That blessing after the flood is something, amen, that is not without measure. It's something that God poured out and he poured out. And the windows of heaven have been opened upon the life of Noah. And Noah lived after the flood a life of blessing. Amen. You're going to live. Some of the greatest blessings you hold in your hand will be after the flood. We have a culture in our day that people want measly little handouts. I ain't living for handouts. I'm not against helping people. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're going to make it in these days, you're going to need more than a handout. You're going to need the almighty blessings of the divine hand of God upon your life. And only God can give that. You don't get that with a little sign on the street corner. And I'm not criticizing that. Amen. I don't know people's story, but I'm telling you, amen, you'll need more than the heart of a man to be moved towards your need. Amen. I've been there when I've been down to bare pennies, not had any money in the bank. Amen. I've been there when the bills have been piled up and there's been no way. And because of a storm, it has cost me. Because of a storm, I have been drained of all of my resources. Can I tell you, I've been through enough storms and lived after the flood enough to know that God has sent the money in. And God knows how to pay the bills. And God knows how to send the blessings upon our life as we need them. Noah lived after the flood a life of blessing. Number three, I like this one, Sissy. I think Sissy will hook up with me on this one. He lived a life of promise. You know what Noah got after the flood? He got a promise from God. Now, he had some promises before the flood. Them promises got him through. But you know the promises of God, they did not end when the flood was over. Amen. Here's how I worded it. God has more promises after the storm. There are some things you've been through, you've been sailing through, that you're just hanging on to God. You're standing on the promises of Godhead. And you're living your life trusting that God is not lied to you, and that God will be faithful to every promise He's ever made. And let me tell you tonight that your God will be faithful to every promise He's made. He is faithful and He will be faithful. Do you know what I'm glad about tonight? God's still giving me some promises. God's still giving me some things to trust Him for. Amen. The story, I won't go through it verse by verse. You know the story. God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and it's going to be for you and for your sons. And it'll be a perpetual covenant to everything that liveth upon the earth. I'm going to set my bow in the sky, the rainbow. Amen. I seen one just the other day. Can't remember what day. It wasn't even really a rainbow. It was just, amen, the colors of the rainbow being reflected over, of all places, Newport, Tennessee. Amen. And I saw that and I said, God's still giving promises. God's still keeping His promises. Amen. All of these, amen, 4,000 years later, God is still keeping His promise to Noah. And in the life and the promise that was made to Noah in the life after the flood. And I'm telling you tonight, our God has some greater promises for you after the flood. Amen. So, boy, I don't even know if I'll ever hear from God again. Oh, God's going to speak. Let's keep on going. Chapter number 8 said, the Lord spake unto Noah, saying, He's got a word for you. That word will tell you when the storm's over, but I'm glad God's got some more promises to give. Amen. You say, preacher, I just don't know. I just don't know how I'm going to live after what I'm going through. Amen. Well, just hold on a little while. God begins to put some promises in your heart. You'll not only listen, you'll not just drudge your way through life after the storm and after the flood. You will live after the flood. Amen. And let me say, and I'm done, Noah lived a life of worship and a life of blessing and a life of promise. Let me say tonight, Noah lived a life of grace. It's amazing when you study Noah's life before the flood, there's no record of any mistake, fault or flaw or failure. No record. I'm not saying he didn't have any. There's no record. In fact, the King James Bible is so dogmatic, it said of Noah before the flood that he was perfect in his generations. That just means he was an upright saint of God. Amen. Not sinless, but in light of what all was going on in that society, the way Noah lived, it was as though he was perfect. Y'all listening? You know, Noah's greatest failures came after the flood. Sad, one of the saddest stories, and I won't go into all of it, but one of the saddest stories in all the Bible, one of the greatest failures in the life of any child of God. By the way, our God sees both the good days and the bad days. He knows when you live for Him, and He knows when you don't. And the King James Bible, amen, we have a God that has presented us both the ups and the downs of the greatest saints of God that have ever lived. After the flood, Noah planted a vineyard. Nothing wrong with planting a vineyard. Nothing wrong with growing grapes. Those are wonderful things. But Noah made the mistake of turning that into wine. In turning it into wine, the day came. Noah tarried Noah tarried at the wine. The Bible said he drank of the wine and was drunken. It's the first mention of wine and drunkenness in the Word of God. Amen. Noah, being drunk, left himself naked. Now, I won't get into all of it. It's a disgusting, perverted story. One of his sons come in and seen him in that shape and did some things that are vile and wicked. Amen. You talk about a blunder. Warren Wiersbe said of this, he said, here is the record of his only flaw. He went on to say that Noah in this time needed to seek God and needed God's forgiveness and repented of his sin and found it, and God restored him, and I believe every word of that. Amen. Let me give it to you this way. I'm done. Noah, the Bible said in chapter number 6, before the flood, and Noah found grace, verse number 8, chapter 6, verse number 8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a world of rebellion, in a world of sin, in a world that had zero interest in God and His ways, there's one man in that society that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of God before the flood. But can I tell you tonight, after the flood, he needed more grace in his life than he had ever needed before. Say, preacher, after the flood, what if I make a mistake? What if I do wrong? What if I have a bad day? I'm glad after the flood there is a life of grace that can be lived. Amen. Noah's failure was not the end of his life. Noah's bad choice to drink wine and become drunken wasn't the end of his story. Thank God there was grace. Noah got to enter in after the flood to living a life of grace. Let me just preach it out for a second this evening. Some of you may be here, amen, and you have messed up your life. You've done things you shouldn't have done, been places you shouldn't have gone, and you've got some failures and mistakes in your life tonight. Amen, I want to tell you this evening, amen, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what choices you've made, how bad them choices have troubled your life. Amen, I'm glad the Bible said, and Noah lived after the flood, and it was a life where God's grace was in more abundance after the flood. Amen, to restore a repentant child of God. Amen, I know he shouldn't have done it. I know we preach against it, and we stand against it, and it's something we all, amen, drunkenness or any sin, by the way, ought to be something we avoid. But I'm glad when I get me in a mess, if I'll turn to God and confess my sin. The Bible said he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. I don't want to embarrass nobody tonight. Amen, here or other places, but had somebody tell me not long ago about things they're going through, just apologizing, and they've apologized over and over and over, and I let them apologize. I got done. I let them talk, and I said, I don't ever want to hear you apologize to me again. I'm done hearing it. You done it. It's forgiven. It's in the past. I ain't bringing it up. You're the one bringing it up. What's in the past is in the past. Amen. So why would you do that? Because that's what God does for me.
I've learned after the flood, I don't always have it all together. When I have bad days, there's a God in glory ready and waiting and willing and excited to let me to continue to live after my flood. The old song is sung. Brother Riley, God leads his dear children along. Y'all remember that chorus, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. You may be in a storm tonight. Here's the message really that's been on my heart lately. You may be in a storm that you think is going to destroy you and kill you and be the last storm you ever see. But you're going to live after the storm. You're going to live after the flood. I don't know if that helps you tonight. I look back over my life. I look back over my life. And I'd have to say tonight, thank God. I'm telling you, I've been places. You ain't going to believe this. Some of y'all, you ain't going to believe it. There have been seasons of my life as a grown man. I've laid in the bed in the fetal position, weeping and crying because of what I was going through and couldn't get out of it and didn't think I would. Hey, everybody look here. He brought me through. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother Mark, he brought me through. He didn't just bring me through. Some of my greatest days have been after those storms. Amen. Noah lived after the flood. You're going to live too. Now stand together. I'm done.